Tonight our devotional is going to be concerning speaking the truth about pulling your weight, specifically about pulling your weight within the congregation. And for that, we'll be looking at Ephesians chapter 4, verse 16. Ephesians 4, verse 16. Let's go ahead and read that. Next, let's go back to 15 and read this. We'll start 15. But speaking the truth in love, may grow up in all things into Him who is the head, that is Christ, from whom the whole body, joined and knit together by what every joint supplies, according to the effective working by which every part does its share, causes growth for the body, for the edifying of itself in love. He's talking about the congregation, about the body, the church, which is the bride of Christ. Let's go back to 16 again, where it says, according to the effective working by which every part does its share. And that causes the growth of the body. What Paul is talking about here, obviously, is unity. There's a saying in the military, and any sports team will tell you the same thing. A team is only as strong as its least member. Think of the church, specifically our congregation, in that same sense. We are only as strong as our least member. So it's up to us to not only carry our own weight, but to bring others up to the same understanding. Everybody has a talent of some sort. And we'll get to that in just a minute. Let's go to Colossians 2, 19. Colossians chapter 2, verse 19 for a minute. Where it says, for it pleased the Father that in Him... I'm sorry, wrong one. Colossians 2, 19. And not holding fast to the head... that is Jesus Christ, from whom all a body nourished and knit together by joints and ligaments grows with the increase that is from God. If you go up to 18, where it says, let no one cheat you of a reward, taking delight in false humility and worship of angels, intruding into those things which he has not seen, vainly puffed up by his fleshly mind. And then it talks about not holding to the head, i.e. Christ. From whom the entire body is nourished and knit together. In other words, the authority in the congregation, i.e. in the church, does not come from men. It comes from God through Christ. And think about what Paul just said in Ephesians, Ephesians 4:16, just there. A minute, and think about that as we go to Romans 13, verses 1 and 2. Romans chapter 13. Sorry, my Bible's falling apart. So, Romans 13, verses 1 and 2. Let every soul be subject to the governing authorities, for there is no authority except from God, and the authorities that exist are appointed by God. Therefore, whoever resists the authority resists the ordinance of God, and those who resist will bring judgment on themselves. Now, put this in context with what Paul was talking about in Ephesians, where the entire body has to work together. The body is not one monolithic thing. Paul says it has many parts. Think about your own body. What do we have? We have the brain. We have the skull. We have the muscles, the ligaments. We have the intestines, the integument. We have all these parts. But they all work together to make the body. And they all have to work together. If one part of the body shuts down, guess what happens to the rest of it? The rest of the body has to pull up the slack, and eventually the body will fail or be sickened. You've seen it happen. You know what happens. So think about that. Let's go to Matthew chapter 25. I'm not going to read the entire thing because we all know this. This is the Matthew chapter 25, verses 14 through 30. It's the parable of the talents. Now, we all know this story. a great lord was leaving the country. So he called his managers to him, basically, his servants, his high servants, and he each gave them a certain amount of money. Money called talents. One he gave five, one he gave two, one he gave one, according to what? According to their ability. And what happened? Well, the man who was given five, he went out and he increased it. He worked hard and he increased it to ten. And the one who had two, he doubled his as well. But what happened to the one man who was given the one talent? He was afraid and did what? He hid it because he was afraid and did nothing. And then what happens when the great Lord comes back? He congratulates the two faithful servants and says, well done, thou great and faithful servants. He gives them great rewards. He says, because you have shown me that you can do much, you will be given more. But the man who was afraid, what happened? His talent was taken away and given to the ten-talent man. Well, originally five, now ten-talent man. And the one-talent man was then cast out. So think about that lesson. That is a clear indication right there that we should use the talents that God gives us for God's glory and for the increase of the church. Not in money. Our harvest is what? Souls. It's not easy, I know that, but it is necessary and it is commanded. Let's turn to Ephesians chapter 1, verses 4 through 6. Ephesians 1. Verses 4 through 6. Just as he chose us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy without blame before him in love, having predestined us to adoption as sons by Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will, to the praise of the glory of his grace by which he made us accepted in the beloved. Now think about this. God has chosen us and we have accepted that challenge. He has adopted us as his children. But he expects us to be part of the family. And to be part of the family, what do? You love the family. You work for the family to make the family increase and grow strong. And in the same sense, that's what we are doing here. Let's go to Luke chapter 12, verse 48. Luke 12, 48. It's an admonishment, the very one that we should bear in mind. Luke 12, 48 says clearly, but he who did not know yet committed things deserving of stripes shall be beaten with few. For anyone to whom much is given, from him much will be required. And to whom much has been committed, of him they will ask more. As I said earlier, we each and every one of us has some talent. We may not know it, but we have within ourselves something that we can do. You know, some people are good at organization. Do that. Some people are good at teaching. By all means, we always need teachers. Some people, maybe you can't teach. Maybe you're not good at organizing, but you're good and friendly with new people. Maybe you can make them feel comfortable and make them feel welcome. Some people are just, good at cleaning. Well, guess what? You can help out that way. Somewhere within you, you have at least one talent that can be used for the furtherance of God's family. So it's not a request from God that you use that talent, or talents in many of our cases. It is a command. It is a command. Go to Mark chapter 16, verses 15 through 16, and we all know this. And he said to them, notice this word, go, G-O, capitalize, command voice, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He who believes and is baptized will be saved, but he who does not believe will be condemned. As I said, we all have something to do for the church, but we all have to do our part. We can't just sit and watch others and applaud them, yes, you do great. We all have our part to do. We all have to pull together. You don't have a donkey and an ox together. You have two oxen or two donkeys. Or a dog sled, you don't have a cat and a dog, you have two dogs. Everybody has to pull equally to win the race. Is there an invitation or no? Yes. Okay. So we never want to end our devotional without an opportunity for those who need help to come forward. If you have problems, we have people here helping. If you're having a personal problem, a spiritual problem, there are people in this congregation, in this church, that will help you. If we can't, we will find someone who can. It's a big community, the church is. It's a big family. If you're ready to receive Christ as your Savior and King, and you have not done so, you're definitely invited to come forward as we stand and sing.